It's Faith Promise morning here in Loudoun, and it's such an honor and privilege to be able to share a little bit with you about what I think missions is and what missions means to me. And I may have a little bit different take on it, possibly, than maybe what you have heard before from some others. And also, it's a blessing to share with you about the Rock Ministry. As Pastor Josh said, my name is Todd Schneider. I'm the assistant pastor at Rockville Church of the Nazarene, and I have the privilege to work with a huge staff of volunteers and serve in this ministry that we know of as The Rock back in Rockville. And it's just a joy to be able to have an awesome group of people to work with. I have 5 children. They're young. They're 13 and under, all the way down to that little 5-year-old Silas. And so that's enough about me. The Rock is a Nazarene Compassionate Ministry. About 5 years ago, Nazarene Compassionate Ministries approached us through the district and thought that it would be fitting that The Rock designate ourselves as a compassionate ministry. And it's been a blessing ever since to be a part of Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And God is doing some awesome things there. You'll hear a little bit about that this morning during the service. And again, after at 11 o'clock, if any want to come and ask questions, or I could potentially share some more stories about what God is doing at The Rock. And the main priority for today, this is Faith Promise Sunday. And so we are here to learn about missions, what God is doing in missions, you know, locally and around the world. And the goal, not the goal, but the purpose of Faith Promise is to make sure that we are supporting the Church of the Nazarene and Nazarene Compassionate Ministries to get the funds necessary to reach this world for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so it's exciting that I could stand here before you and share a little bit about that. Right from the beginning, I'm not going to read this that's on the screen, but right from the beginning, Phineas Brazee, who started the Church of the Nazarene, and I just love everything I hear and read about this incredible man of God, but you see in italics up there, he said right from the beginning, our church is a missionary church. It knows no difference between home and foreign fields. In these days, all fields are near. And that was so prophetic because that had to be at least probably 110 years ago that Phineas Brazee said that and made that quote as the Church of the Nazarene was getting established. And here we are just over 100 years later, and literally the gospel has gone almost to all the ends of the earth. I believe our church and Nazarene Compassionate Ministries is in about 159 or more world areas. And so just a powerful prophetic word a long time ago. And how much more is that statement, and should that statement be true today, that we are a missionary church? So here in Loudoun or back in Rockville or wherever we are, this is what our church was founded on. And that's my heart for the church today, is that all our local congregations would be missionary churches. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit more about that today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up to Genesis chapter 1. Real familiar passages of scripture this morning. I'm probably pretty sure that Pastor Josh has preached on these before and probably done a phenomenal job, probably done a much better job than I'm going to do today. But I want to share with you, it was last Tuesday morning, about 12 days ago, I was up in the morning and I was in prayer and kind of considering this day. And for some reason, the Lord put this passage on my heart, and it's a little bit of a unique passage, I think, for a Faith Promise or for a mission service, but I was very, very certain that the Lord had said, this is what you are to share to your church family in Loudoun at the Faith Promise. And so we're going to be looking at Genesis 1. We're also going to be looking at John chapter 1. And again, these are probably very familiar to you, but I just want to share them with you this morning. And I've put it up on the screen as well here. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this church, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you that this is a church founded on your word. I thank you, Father, that every time I've had the opportunity, whether to be here or to be with my brother, Pastor Josh, elsewhere, or sit under his teaching or preaching, Father, that it's all directly founded and grounded on your word. And we thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that it's your word that changes lives, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that there's power in your word, dear Lord Jesus. And I just pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to us this morning, Holy Spirit. Would you show us something through these verses in Genesis and John? Would you speak to us each individually, dear Lord Jesus, and help us to understand, reveal your will to us today, we pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for the amazing time of worship we've already had. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless this church family. Bless our churches, dear Lord. Bless the Church of the Nazarene and Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, dear Heavenly Father. And help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to live for you, Lord. And so I just pray that you would have your way with us this morning, Father. And we love you and praise you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Genesis 1, I'm going to read it. I have it right here. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good and divided the light from darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." The Lord brought me right to that. And it was, again, it's an interesting passage, I think, for missions or for a faith promise service. But what stood out to me in that was right from the beginning, right in the beginning of time, God took the darkness and made light and created light the first day. And so this concept of light, which we're going to talk about a little today, was very, very important to God right from the beginning. And why was it so important? Because the world was in chaos already. The world was in darkness already, even as he created it. And God knew that nothing would come into order without light. So light was going to be necessary for the whole world to come into order. So on the first day, God created light. And then we jump to the New Testament. It's almost a parallel passage in John chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. We jump to the New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I also have it on the screen up here. And we read this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And so what we learn in John chapter 1 is that Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus was there at creation. Jesus is God. I know you guys know that because you have such an amazing pastor. Jesus is God, and he was there in Genesis 1:1. And Jesus knew in Genesis 1:1 that nothing was going to come into order without the light. So Jesus knew that light was going to be required then, and Jesus knew in the New Testament that light was going to be required yet again. So we have Jesus now, and he's live on the scene, in the flesh, and his life is the light for mankind. So his life now is the light for you, and it's the light for me, and it's the light for those who are there in John chapter 1. And it's interesting when we think about light just a little bit. Both physically and spiritually, light always has victory over darkness. Both physically and spiritually, light always has victory over darkness, if you think about it. Light is superior to the darkness. There's no battle. It's not difficult for light to overtake the darkness. Every single time the light comes, the darkness flees. So praise God for that. And what is darkness when we look here in the Word of God? Some definitions that I found for that word is the darkness that's being referred to as sin, definitely. But the darkness is being referred to as also a measure of ignorance. And what it really boils down to is the darkness is chaos. A darkness is chaos. And what is the light but revelation? What is the light but the salvation? And revelation and salvation of Jesus brings order in people's lives. And it brings order in our lives. And this is our testimony, really. So Jesus brought the light to mankind to bring order to mankind and to bring order to the chaos. Have you noticed, my pastor never stops talking about this, but I'm going to share it with you just for a minute. Have you noticed that the world is in absolute chaos? I have one child in Christian school, two in public school, and two that are homeschooled. My family's very confused, obviously, about schooling. But have you noticed that the world is in absolute chaos, in absolute darkness? In the things that kids are being taught in school and young people are being taught in school and they're being raised in a godless society. We minister to hundreds of kids and there's not even a concept that Sunday would be the Sabbath or a day set aside for God. There's not even a concept of God in their homes. And even in the church, have you noticed, even in the church that we struggle as Christians and we struggle as believers of how it is that we're to live and how it is that we're to honor God. And it's just crazy. The world is in absolute darkness. It's bad. It's really bad. It's getting worse quickly. And I think a lot, why is it so bad? How are we going to reach this world for Christ? How are we going to reach this world for the kingdom of God? And what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, and I think it's complicated, but it's simple at the same time. The world is in darkness and chaos because of a lack of light. You see, if there was light, there wouldn't be darkness. And so I believe that the lack of light is a big reason why this world is in chaos. And a friend of mine from a ministry in New York, The Rock is modeled after a ministry in New York, Metro Ministries. They're known as the world's largest Sunday school. They have over 200,000 children around the world, 100,000 in New York and 100,000 overseas. But a girl who serves at Metro Ministries, one of the missionaries there, said a quote. She said, "Light, just a little, makes all the difference in the midst of darkness." And if the room was completely dark and pitch black and someone just flipped a lighter or flicked on a small light, or if you were walking through utter complete darkness, if you just had a little bit of light, it would make all the difference. It would help you to see where you were going. And so that quote has impacted me so much because a little bit of light makes all the difference in the midst of darkness. And here's the thing that I need to be reminded of all the time, because we do serve in a difficult ministry. It's not the fault of the world that they're in darkness, and it's not the fault of the world that they are ignorant, if we can use that word darkness to describe ignorance. It's not their fault, especially when we're talking about children. I have never met someone in my life that chose the family that they were going to be born into. I didn't choose my family. You didn't choose yours. And not one child in this world chose the family they were going to be born into. So for me, in serving at The Rock, it has to start there at that baseline that it is not their fault. And they're in darkness because of the absence of light. And we've already said it, when light comes, darkness flees. You do believe that, right? That is your testimony, right? That when the light came at that moment in time, the darkness fled. The darkness was gone. As believers, we believe that. We believe that the Word of God is true. We more than believe that the Word of God is true, we know the Word of God is true. Because it's brought light to our hearts and it's brought light to our lives. I believe the darkness is directly related to an absence of light. And in Matthew chapter 5, it's interesting, and I'm not going to get too far into it, but it says, "You are the light of the world. So what does this have to do with missions? I think it has everything to do with missions. Because I know in my church, and I know in a lot of churches, sometimes we get things confused. We get missions confused. And we begin to replace missions with things that aren't necessarily missions. I wrote here, I gave a couple examples. Missions is not about food for hungry people. Although we feed a lot of people at The Rock. Every Friday night, we serve hundreds of meals. Missions is not about food for hungry people, although that's good, and we do that. It's not about building a building to worship in, although that's good. And work and witness and all that is great stuff, and I participate in that, and I love that, and we need to support that. It's not even about getting people through our doors on Sunday morning, I've learned to realize. Because maybe for the people we're called to minister to, their worship and their life and the way that they're going to follow Jesus culturally, socially, and everything else might look a little different than it does for us. Missions is about the gospel. Missions is about the gospel. It's about light. The gospel is the light. I wrote up here, the gospel brings hope, and hope changes lives. This world is not hopeless. They just have no hope. And the gospel brings the hope to this lost and dark and broken world. And that's where we need to start. And that's where we need to be focused on when it comes to missions. It's not about a bunch of good programs. It's not about a bunch of good works. It's about the gospel. It's about the light of Jesus. Some of you may have this. I'm not even going to read that. Our mission is on there. I was going to share it with you, but I don't even need to, or I don't want to right now. But if you were to look into The Rock more, and we can look into it more in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock, The Rock is all about prayer. It's all about visitation. We are huge on visitation and getting outside of the church. We make about 100 home visits every single week into a very difficult, the worst area of our community in Rockville. It's about meeting physical needs, but above all, it's about the gospel. And I'm going to just give you a little bit of a glimpse. One of the things we love to do, this is in Rockville. Most everything I'm going to talk to you about primarily is about what we do in Rockville, because that's where I'm located and stationed. This is what we call Rock the Streets. And this takes place in the summer. And what happens is we get together and we pray. By the way, it's all founded on prayer. We have 3 prayer meetings a week just for the Friday night rock service. And just for our Wednesday and Thursday night visitations. So we get together and pray. And then we go hit the streets and we hand out flyers. And we have an event called Rock the Streets. And it's usually at a park like this one. This is a park in Rockville. And we invite everybody to come to the park. And yeah, we have food and we have games and we have prizes and we have candy. But then when everybody's there, we settle everybody down and we preach the gospel. And it's just a powerful, awesome time in the Lord. It's incredible every single time, and God moves powerfully through it. At this Rock the Streets, particularly, we had 2 different moms come with kids. I have no idea how they got there. One's mom's name is Kishon. One's mom's name is Lori. Somehow they got a flyer. Somehow they heard about Rock the Streets. They both came. The gospel was preached. Both of these moms, this was just this past summer. This was in August. Both of these moms came, gave their lives to Christ. And they, you know, it's not really the goal necessarily, but praise God, they're both getting discipled. They're part of our church family now for these last several months. And God is doing an amazing work in their lives. Lori sent me, I'm just going to read you real quick. Lori sent me a Facebook message just the other day. She said, I wanted you to know how much tonight's service meant to me. This was on a Friday night, last Friday, 9 days ago. I had to go to court to testify about horrible things that happened as a child. Despite the testimony, the rights of the party involved weren't terminated. I felt everything I had said, the feelings I dug up, was for nothing. My heart was filled with anger. I was lashing out at everyone, even my family. I chose to see a therapist. After each session, I became more angry and resentful. Tonight, I left the church with my heart filled with love. God spoke to me tonight. from winning the prize to listening to the words. I knew that God was with me, speaking to me, and that he loves me. I knew it was time to let go of hate, anger, sadness, and resentment. So I let it go. It's gone. One night at the Rock has done something months of counseling could not do. I am blessed to be a part of the Rock Ministry family. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, and that's why we do what we do, and that's why we preach the gospel. Anyways, I told you on Friday nights, we have 15 passenger vans, and so what we do is we go out and visit the families on Wednesday night and Thursday night, and most of the families we minister to do not have cars, so what we do is we go pick them up. And we pick up somewhere between probably a little over 100 kids every Friday night, and then some others get bussed in. And we have church every Friday night. We have a meal. We have an awesome, we call it a family church service, where the gospel is preached. We're teaching the Ten Commandments right now. Who is going to teach this world the Ten Commandments if the church doesn't do it? So we're teaching the Ten Commandments right now, and it's just a blessed time, and God is doing some awesome things through it. And this is what it's all about. And I tell our staff and I tell the kids every Friday night, it's not about the candy, it's not about the games, it's not about the prizes, it's not about the food, it's not even about the songs. It's all about our time of prayer and the Spirit of God and the presence of God. And so every Friday night, our altars are filled and our sanctuary is filled with kids crying out to God, and our staff moves in on them and loves on them and prays with them. And at that moment in time, those 5 minutes every Friday night make everything worth it. Because that's the time where God speaks to them and can change their lives. So prayer is just a huge part of it. I don't have a lot of time to tell you about all of this. This is Jasmine. Jasmine is like my sixth child. I remember when I started at the Rock in 2007, and Jasmine sat right up front. She was a little kid then, probably 6 years old, 5 years old. And she would sit up front and she would praise God and this and that. And then she was on my visitation route. And I found out that Jasmine, I love Jasmine's mom. We're very close today. But Jasmine lived in a home with her mother. Six children, five dads, no dads. Okay? Six children, five dads, no dads. But I wish, and if my wife or another female was coming here with me today, I probably would have brought Jasmine with me, or if we were staying a little longer. I bring Jasmine with me a lot of places that I go, because Jasmine, the power of God, has completely transformed and changed her life, and she loves Jesus. And we have a huge youth group at our church of teenagers, and a lot of them are from the church, and a lot of them are from the streets, and Jasmine just shines as a light, and her testimony just bubbles over and speaks to people every time she comes and shares. And her testimony has been shared at a lot of different Rock presentations. And if you think about it, pray for Jasmine, because she prays every week at church. She's crying at the altar, praying for her mom, that her mom would be saved. But so that's Jasmine. This is Rachel and Sky and Colton. Rachel, we just met about 2 years ago. We were delivering a food box to a family in a project in Rockville, two of our staff. I think my wife was there, and Alicia. They were delivering a food box to a family in Rockville, and at the next door apartment, someone was peeking out the blinds. And it was little Sky peeking out the blinds. And my friend Alicia, who's one of our van and visitation leaders, saw her. And she knocked on the door and she said, hey, and she told her, we're from the Rock. And she gave her a flyer and this and that. And they got to talk to Rachel just for a minute. And Rachel said, no way you're taking my kids. No way my kids are going to the Rock. And so they left and they prayed there. Actually, the way the story worked out, the person they were giving the food box to wasn't home. They ended up giving it to this family and left. We never heard or saw from them again. And on January 1st of 2016, we had an event at the church called Rock School. And we invited the families in, and Rachel came in. And she came with Sky and Colton. And it was her first time she had ever been inside a Christian church. And she had never even been to the Rock before. And then we lost her again. She was disappeared. And in May of last year, just over a year ago, I got a Facebook message from Rachel. See, I knew that Sky and Colton were taken away by the Department of Children and Families because Rachel was caught up in addiction and all sorts of things went down and happened. And I got a message from Rachel and she wanted me to come out and meet her where she was at in East Hartford. And she told me about her broken life and she told me how her kids were taken away and she told me the whole nine. And Rachel began to come to church. And that second Sunday she was in church, Rachel gave her life to Christ at the altar at the end of pastor's message. Rachel has been walking faithfully with God. Rachel has attended church more Sundays than I have since June of 2016. She's been walking faithfully with God. She's gotten her children back. She's gotten a job. She's gotten a car. She never had a license before. She's gotten her life all together. And every single social organization in Connecticut wants to use Rachel as the model of why their program is so good and so great. And they always want Rachel to come to their presentations, and Rachel almost always invites me, and every time she stands up before the group of people and testifies to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. They have never seen someone, yeah, praise God, give God a praise for that. They have never seen someone, I hear it time and time again, where Rachel was to where Rachel is. And it's powerful. These are my friends. These are just three orphan girls from Haiti. And I just love these girls so dearly. Maybe I'll tell you a little more about them in at 11 o'clock if we have a chance. But these are just three beautiful girls. Rose Burley, Rosevana, and Rakencia. Rosevana, their mother died after our second trip to Haiti. We became close with them, and their mother died. Rosevana now lives in an orphanage. Rakencia and Rose Burley live together in the village, but Haiti is a different world, man, and they need your prayers for sure, but these are just beautiful girls who love Jesus. We're going to bring this to a close pretty quickly here. I want to share with you two more verses of scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." I heard another quote the other day, and it was so powerful, it impacted me. The moon is a light only because its surface reflects light from the sun. Did you know that? I didn't even know that. I'm not that educated and I'm not that smart. But my wife was like, "Yeah, you didn't know that?" Well, I know it now. The moon is a light only because its surface reflects light from the sun. In Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light." This is the word of God for us. And what I want to share with you this morning is that you are a light only as you reflect light from the sun, Jesus Christ. So our eyes have to be fixed on him. Light is not something we do, it is who we are. You can't do light if you want to do light. It's who you are as the people of God. It's who you are as the believer living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have a choice. You got Christ, you are light. It's not a program, it's not The Rock, it's not Faith Promise, it's not a crisis care kit. See, the world's in darkness, it's covered in sin. We can't solve the sin issue. We can't solve the darkness issue. We don't have the answer for homosexuality. I don't have the answer for the transgender teenager that just became a boy and is part of our youth group. I don't got the answer. We can't solve it. We can't solve people's anger. We can't take care of Rachel's drug problem because they're not the issues. The issue is life without Christ. All those other things are only symptoms of the issues. And missions is all about bringing the light of the gospel to people who need Christ. That's what it's all about. We're helpless. Good news, we're all helpless. But Jesus isn't. The world is helpless. we need the light of Christ to shine on us. Pastor Kevin, he was from Williston. How am I forgetting his name? Kevin Dunlop. We came up there for the rock, and he was sharing. And you know what he said? He was sharing, and we were sharing. And he said, "Darker the night, brighter the light." And that has stood with me for years now. You want to know, you want to see Jesus? You want to see the light of God? You want to see the power of God? If you are light, you go to the darkest place you can find, and you're going to see Jesus shine brighter than you're ever going to see him otherwise. And I just loved that quote from Pastor Kevin Dunlop. And so we're going to close now. We're out of time, and we're going to close now. And I just want to close with a few closing thoughts and ask you a question. This church is made up of a whole bunch of individuals. Each of you are a part of the body of Christ here. How is God calling you? How is God calling New Beginnings Church of the Nazarene to shine the light of Christ here in Loudoun and to the ends of the earth? We need to consider that. We need to think about that. And I don't know how you guys close your service. I could tell this is a praying church. I know in Rockville, we fill the altars. And I think you guys probably do too. And I just want to take a minute or two to pray and to consider a couple things here before Pastor Josh comes up and closes out the service, however he sees fitting. But we need to consider, how is God calling you to be light? Not to do light, but to be light. How is he calling you to do that? And I want to have a time of prayer. We're going to close in a time of prayer right now. And so whether you want to play in your seats or whether you want to come up to the altar and ask God, I'm encouraging you to ask God, how is God calling you to be the light? What is that dark area in Loudoun or elsewhere that God is calling you to bring the light of Christ? You are light. When light comes, darkness flees every time. And I wrote here, how are we each individually to fulfill the purposes of God, spreading the gospel here locally and globally? Because that's really what it's all about. Missions is all about the spread of the gospel. And if missions is about the gospel, and if we believe that missions is about the gospel, and we believe that the gospel is true, and we know that the gospel has changed our lives, how does that affect our service and our giving to the mission of God? How does that affect our faith promise giving? How does that affect how you live, where you go, what you do, if we believe that the gospel is true? And that's really what I wanted to just close with. And we're going to have a time of prayer. So however you want to pray, if you want to come pray up here and ask the Lord, you want to remain in your seat, that's fine. I'm just going to spend a minute or two here in prayer and then let Pastor Josh come up and close this service how he sees appropriate. Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, that you are here today. We thank you that we're guaranteed in your presence this morning, God, because we've gathered together in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have a plan for this church. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that light has victory over darkness every time. We thank you for the people who are here today, Father, and I'm praying that faith would rise up in their hearts today, dear Lord, and that they would begin to look to you and see you so that your light can reflect off of them and through them, Father, so that others would be able to see who you are. God, we forgive us when we have blamed it on the world, Lord. Forgive us for passing judgment on children and passing judgment on families and passing judgment on people who are living in darkness, God, because we know and we recognize and realize it's not their fault. And so help us, dear Lord Jesus, to be your people. Help us to love this lost and broken world. Help us to reach the children, Lord. The world is teaching the children so much that it's contrary to the will and purposes of God. We need your help, God. We need your power. We need your presence in our lives, dear Lord, to break the cycles and to change the patterns that these children are growing up in, dear Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for our church. We thank you for the people who are a part of this church. We thank you for a church that's founded on your word, dear Lord. But we're just praying, Holy Spirit, that you would rise up, that you would call us, that you would send us, that you would show us what it is that you want from us. And Father, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that we would hear you speak today, dear Lord, through your word, and that we would listen, and that we would trust, and that we would obey whatever it is, dear Lord. Forgive us, Father, for those areas where we fall short. Forgive us in our weakness, Lord. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. God, I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that there's purpose in each and every life here. I thank you that there's potential in each and every one to make a huge difference for the kingdom of God. I thank you, God, that you use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, dear Lord Jesus, and that you can use each and every one in this place to shine your light to this lost and broken world. God, bless our faith promise giving, bless our faith promise weekend, bless our time together, dear Lord Jesus. Would you multiply those offerings for the furtherance of your kingdom? We thank you for our church. We thank you that the gospel truly has gone to the ends of the earth and is going to continue to go. And though time is drawing short and time is drawing near, we thank you, God, that you're calling us to do even much more in this day and age of darkness in which we live. And we just love you and praise you today. I thank you for each one who's praying at these altars this morning. Lord, speak. Holy Spirit, speak. God, give them the faith to believe that what your word says is true. Give them the strength to walk in your light and to walk in your power and to trust and obey what you're speaking to them just now. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.